Good morning, everybody. It's Luke chapter 24 this morning and verse 39. If you want to turn with me there, Luke 24, 39. The Lord said to the disciples, the 11 and those disciples that had gathered together, and remember they were speaking about him and how they had seen him and he had revealed himself to them. And he appeared in their midst and said, "Peace be still." And in verse 39, he says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." The first question I have for you is this. Does it seem strange that he didn't say, "Behold my face and see that it is I myself"? That's the way we recognize other people. We look at their face. Usually we can even look at a picture of somebody from 30 years ago when they were just a little kid and say, "Oh, I know who that is. I recognize them." And we know it by their face. We don't look at their hands and feet. But the Lord Jesus Christ's identity all through the scriptures is like this. Listen to Galatians 1:4, "Who gave himself for our sins." That's who he is. He's the one that gave himself. He's the only one that could. "Gave himself for our sins that he might save us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Who is he? "Who loved me and gave himself for me." Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." 1 Timothy 2:6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." Not that he might give us a shot, but that he might redeem us. That's why he gave himself. Did he do that? He said he did. He said it's perfect. "Redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." That is, a people that's his, uniquely his, "zealous of good works." You and I have never seen his face, but we know by grace through faith what he did for us. We know we haven't seen his hands and feet physically with our physical eyes, but we know by his grace through faith that he gives what he did. He gave himself for it. That's how we know him, because he reveals himself as our Redeemer. The Son of God crucified for our sins, dying the just for the unjust, that he might bring a countless multitude of wretched, vile sinners to God. And what's amazing here is that even those who had seen his face, they would have recognized him. If he, at times, he hid himself from them, he hid his identity from them, but they could have recognized his face. But the way he identifies himself to them was in his character as their Redeemer, as him who gave himself for them, who died for their sins according to the scriptures. The scars in his hands and feet are a symbol of what Christ did for his elect. We always say that the gospel is Christ, the person of Christ, what he did, why he did it, and where he is now. And included in why he did it is that whatever he did it for is done. He accomplished the redemption of his people. He obtained it for us with his precious blood. Now, these scars symbolize what he did for us. And think about how important that is. We're saved by his faithfulness to his Father and to us. He's faithful to do what he promised for us. But faithfulness to his Father, and how is faith identified? If you look up that word faith, as it's normally used in the New Testament, it includes faithfulness. Faith includes, I'm faithful to the one in whom I believe by his grace. But Christ was faithful to his Father. He said, I must be about my Father's business. I do always those things that please my Father. He accomplished everything the Father sent him to do. How is faith identified? How is it seen? You remember what James said about that. He said, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And always remember this, the way to understand the book of James. If you want to see that the book of James is not contradictory in any way to Paul saying we're saved by grace without works. The book of James is not about the difference between faith and works. The book of James is about the difference in two kinds of faith, two different faiths. The one that God gives that works, and the one that's not of God, that's of the flesh, that doesn't work. The Lord Jesus Christ showed his faith in and faithfulness to his Father by what he accomplished on Calvary. His hands and feet prove it. It's faithfulness that works, faith that works. Now, think about it this way. We're saved because he loved us. It's the difference between being saved and lost. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Jacob's saved. Esau's lost. And his love is the difference, his electing, everlasting love. How is love shown? What is love? Just an emotion? Just a warm, fuzzy feeling? No. It's always he loved us and, as we've spoken about before, Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. How did he wash us? Look at his hands and feet, and you'll see. By faith. By faith. The love of God for his elect, the love of Christ for his sheep, is love indeed. And think about the word indeed as two words. Indeed. In doing. In what he did for us. His hands and feet. Prove it. That's why he showed them to them. To show everything. Really, it shows everything about God. What is love? Look at his hands and feet. You want to talk about the holiness of God? Look at his hands and feet. It took the blood of God's Son to wash us from our sins because God is holy. He can't even look at us without putting us in hell. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ sheds his precious blood for us. Justice? Look at his hands and feet. When our sin was laid on him, God crushed his own Son. But because of who he is, the spotless Lamb of God, he put away our sin by that sacrifice. So he showed his love. Everything really is revealed in Christ crucified, all of the character of God. And that's what his hands and feet here are all about now, him showing them that. The love of God for his elect, the love of Christ for his sheep is love indeed. And his hands and feet prove it. Even in glory, how is the Savior identified? Even in eternal glory in heaven itself, in the very presence of God, how is he identified? John said, I saw a lamb as it had been slain. Notice also that the Lord comforted them. This is how he comforted them. What's our comfort? Look at his hands and feet. We see that Christ's love is not just, well, I hope you do the right thing and go to heaven instead of hell. His love, he did something about it. That's my comfort. Paul said, I'm uncondemnable before God because it's Christ that died for me. It has nothing to do with me except that he did it for me. and revealed himself to me and had mercy on me. But even in glory, but he comforted them. And the reason he did this is because verse 38, you see where they were troubled. You remember that? They were troubled. And he said, why are you troubled? But he didn't just ask them that question. He showed them why. We can find complete comfort and peace and rest in him because of who he is and what he did for us. When we're troubled, let me ask you this. This is another question I've got for you this morning. There was two things that happened in verse 38, I believe it is. Yeah, we're in verse 39. And in verse 38, why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your heart? And he didn't say it there because he didn't have to, but they were wrong thoughts. So these apostles and disciples, they were troubled and they had wrong thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. Their thought, wrong, false thoughts, erroneous thoughts arose in their hearts. Okay, let's talk about being troubled. When you're troubled, what's going to comfort you more than to think about how the Lord Jesus Christ made his own soul an offering for your sin? And by those nail prints in his hands and feet, he shows us how much he loved us. This is herein is love that the Father, he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Lord Jesus dying for us is the very definition of love. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sin offering for our sins. And when wrong thoughts arise in your heart, whatever they are, why do those thoughts arise in your heart? Well, I'll tell you this. When they were thinking wrong, when that happens, you know what the remedy to that is? Looking to him and seeing who he is and what he did. To be shown by Christ himself that all that really matters is that he took our place under the wrath of God. And because he did, we have an opportunity? No. Because he did, we have a chance? No. Because he did, our sins are gone. And we're spotless in the sight of God. That'll put away the wrong thoughts that matter. You know, you might have a wrong opinion about some worldly thing, and that's not going to really matter that much, probably. But when wrong thoughts arise in our hearts that have to do with him, as was here, he's got to show himself crucified for our sins. And if he's gracious and does that, then right thoughts will arise in our hearts and we'll praise him and we'll thank him forever. Gracious Lord, show us your hands and your feet when we come to the table, the Lord's table, and bread has been broken and laid out and on the table and wine has been poured out and we remember our Savior. We think about when he said, this is my body that is broken for you. And he's the one break. I lay down my life for you. Nobody takes it from me. This bread is broken for you by him, for us. And this wine is the new covenant in my blood. And when we remember our Savior that way, I can't help by his grace. I can't help it anymore because of his grace. But think, not only is this a beautiful time of worship, of family worship around his table, commemorating our great Savior and what he did for us, how he saved us. But I think of it also as a reminder from the Lord of how simple and clear my preaching should be. I can't help but think of it that way anymore. And what the subject of it must always be, the simplicity that's in Christ. His body, his blood, his person, his work, Christ and him crucified. If I preach anything else, I'm wasting, it's worse than wasting our time. It's so clear and simple that may God give us grace that we're never, me, you, all of us are never removed from the simplicity the all-inclusiveness that's in Christ Jesus. At the table, he said, "You show my death. As long as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth my death until I come." That's what I want to do when I preach. That's what he did when he showed them his hands and his feet, the Lord crucified for his loved ones. He's the subject. He's the simple, all-inclusive subject of our message, because only Christ alone and only the message of Christ alone, by that means, God saves his people. So he accomplished by simply showing them himself crucified. He calmed their troubles and he changed all their wrong thoughts into right ones. May he do that for us every time we meet. And then verse 40, let's talk about this just for a little while. Verse 40, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet." Now, I've been talking about him showing already, kind of looking ahead to this verse, knowing that that's what's coming next. But think about this now. He spoke in verse 39 and said, "Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself." And that's our message. Now, we identify somebody who was crucified for our sins, who gave himself for our sins. But when he had thus spoken, he showed them. Let's think about that for a minute. The Lord tells us about himself and how sinners are saved by his precious blood through the preaching of the gospel. And through that means, he actually shows us himself. He got to show you himself. I can study hard and I can say all the right things, but the Lord Jesus Christ has got to actually show you. I can't do that. We can talk about it. And he does it through the preaching of the gospel. And that's got to happen. But the Lord himself has got to show us what he did for us. That's faith. That's faith. You're not going to see it. He can say it. And there could have been others in the room. At many times he spoke to multitudes, and some believed and some didn't. The words coming out of his mouth are the words of eternal life. But he's got to show you. He's got to show you now. He's got to give you faith to believe on him. Now the word, the gospel, is vital. It's by the foolishness of preaching that God has been pleased to save them that believe, that which is foolishness to this world. And when the gospel is preached, when and where God is pleased, he gives faith in his Son. He himself opens your eyes and shows you his hands and his feet. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know that in our text, you know this, I know this, that when it says he showed them, it's talking about him physically revealing to their natural eyes the wounds and the hands and feet that were wounded for them. I know that's what that's saying, but that's not all it means. It means that, but that's not all it means. It means something a lot more important than that. Well, how do you know that, Chris? Where are you getting that from? Well, the last two verses of this chapter say they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And I'll tell you this, you've got to have more than a physical sight of the Lord and the hands and feet wherein are the wounds, showing that he suffered for our sins in order to worship him. It's got to be a lot more than a physical sight. It was for them, and it's got to be for us. They saw him physically, but that wasn't going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. There were many who saw him wounded that never worshiped him. They never praised God for his Son and him sending his Son to die for our sins. Never did. That one thief, I believe it's the one on his left side, saw his precious blood flow down and died cursing him and mocking him. It's not just a physical sight this is talking about here. He showed them his hands and his feet. He showed them himself crucified for their sins. No, it takes another kind of showing now. It takes another kind. It takes another kind of sight. It takes simply faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. You're not going to come up with it. You're not going to decide to believe. He's going to have to give you faith in himself. And so we pray for it. We say, Lord, help our unbelief. Even we who do believe, the way he shows us his hands and feet, and the way he showed them also in our text, is by giving them faith in him. That's how he did it. That's why they worshiped him. Otherwise, they wouldn't have. They couldn't have. So it was much more than just the physical. They worshiped him for that. Because he is the Lamb of God that sits on the throne. It's one thing to be historically aware that somebody named Jesus died on a cross a couple of thousand years ago. It's another thing altogether to worship him because you know he gave himself for you. Oh, because he gave himself. And you know by God's grace through faith that you are uncondemnable in the sight of God Almighty, just as Paul was, and for the same reason, because it is Christ that died. He's shown us that. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's when you'll worship him, and not before. And how gracious he is. Let's just say a couple more things. How gracious he is to show us. Our blindness is our own fault. We never would see, really see, him and what he did for us. Even if we had stood at the foot of that cross and watched him bleed and die for the sins of his people, we would never see himself and what he did, unless he gives us faith. And our blindness is our own fault. Our unbelief is our own fault. If he left us in our blind rebellion and pride and evil and just hatred of him by nature, he'd be right to do it. He'd be right to do it. But he's been pleased to show us that which is most precious, the most precious of all sights, our Lord crucified, yet risen. They saw the wounds that proved it was him that died for them, but there he stands before them. This is how he described himself. He that liveth and was dead. He that liveth and was dead. And behold, he is alive forevermore. And because he is and was and is, we are by his grace. We're now, instead of being dead to God and alive unto sin, we're dead to sin and alive unto God by his precious blood. And as he is now, so are we in this world. Because of him and what he did, we are who we are. It defines us. We're his. As he is, so are we in this world. Is God pleased with his son? Then he says to his sheep, the ones for whom Christ died, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Does God love his son? Our Lord Jesus prayed in John 17, thou hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. All because of what we see when he shows us his hands and his feet. Ah, Lord, show us. Increase our faith. Cause us to worship you. Cause us to show your death until you come, and cause us to rest completely in your finished, perfect salvation accomplished for us by you. Amen.